That brings us to the end of the submitters that are scheduled for this morning, but I understand PH Bennett Limited are here and happy to proceed. Is that correct?
I'm just going to take the notes from the top.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
So we'll shortly hear from PH Bennett Limited. Welcome, thank you for agreeing to proceed early in the schedule. That probably suits both of us, I imagine.
Oh, that's all right then. I do have to wait for my computer to start up because my printer played up this morning, so. Yeah.
That's all right. Just while that's happening, just to, I'll say to you what I've said to all the submitters. Thank you very much for putting in your original submission. We've read that, so you don't need to read that out to us. We've also had a look at the extra material you provided to us, so you don't need to read that out to us either. But you're very welcome to speak to that material and outline the key points you'd like us to take on board from your submission.
Right, yep. It's, technology. I'll just wait on the technology.
That's right, just while that's firing up, just ask you a question. I'd just like to, are you aware of the, because you do raise the issue of stock access, stock exclusion in your submission and evidence, are you aware of the national regulations that have been promulgated by central government?
Yes.
So you're aware that central government's decided to run with this issue from their perspective. They've put out regulations, draft regulations on stock exclusion from waterways.
Yes, I have just recently read that.
Right, good. And you understand that once those regulations are finalised, which we understand will be prior to the election, this council won't be able to have any rules that are more lenient than those national regulations. So the national regulations are really going to set the playing field for this issue. And the council's going to pretty much have to just fall in line with that.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to see if you understood that.
I understood that. I only just recently read that.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
Good morning, councillors and the general public. My name is Paul Bennett, and along with my wife Nicola, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Environment Southland for letting us Southland farmers take part in shaping our future. We run a 300 hectare farm just south of Belford. 90% of this is flat. We run an intensive cropping and livestock operation. My point one, the management plan seems over the top considering we are required to produce an updated report each year. My argument is if you are going to keep this rule in place, you should look at modifying it, because who is going to carry out the inspections in the plan and who is going to manage it? We already have Nate, Hasno, and the livestock management. Sorry, my computer's playing out now. We already have livestock audits as well as health and safety. The time and effort put into these existing regulations already puts pressure on our business and family. Who will pay for the cost of this management plan to be done properly? This document will need the input of experts in particular fields, and there will need to be some training. Training put into upskilling the farmers along with gathering the appropriate information. and then analysing that, what needs to be addressed. This document will need to be, right, this document will need to be, let's just look at that.
This one, hold on.
This document will need to be this is quite embarrassing. This document will need to set up so every farmer has the same version. This needs to be a standardised document and not become a money-making scheme like the health and safety plan, where lots of businesses have jumped on board the bandwagon to produce these plans for the farmers and make a quick buck along the way. Point two. I would like to comment on the mapping of tile drains. I can't see how knowing where the outlet of a tile drain is going to help the overall quality of the groundwater leaving the paddock when we have complied with the fencing off of the waterways. Fencing off of the waterways.
That the tiles run into and having a sediment catchment area before the water leaves our property. Winter grazing.
Is a hot topic, and my personal belief is having a percentage-based calculation instead of a cap of 50 hectares. This seems unfair to bigger properties. For example, we have 35 hectares of winter crop for a 300 hectare property, and if you increase our land holding by 300 hectares, we would need 70 hectares of winter crop. My point is that the 50 hectare cap is a limiting, and there could be potential animal welfare issues in the winter time. And I don't know whether we need to say this fencing off, because we haven't got an opening. Right, that's all I have to say. Sorry about the
technology
issues.
I've got one question before I hand it over to the rest of the panel. In terms of the intensive winter grazing issue, just want to check if you understand that the 50 hectare threshold that's been recommended to us by the officers now in response to submissions, it's not a cap. It's right. Merely a threshold above which a resource consent would be required. So I think a lot of submitters understand it to be a cap, which it isn't.
Right, yeah.
Did you understand that? Or?
No, I didn't actually understand.
So what's been recommended to us is a threshold of 50 hectares, below which you would not need a resource consent, but above 50 hectares you would need a resource consent.
So then if you need more than 50 hectares, it's going to cost you an amount to get a resource consent.
I imagine there would be a fee associated with getting a consent, but that's up to Environment Southland.
Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. So we'll see if we have questions for you, Maury.
No, thank you for your submission,
Maury. Yeah. No questions for me, thanks.
Yeah. I'd like to just explore something with you, because we had a philosophical presentation before you.
Right.
Yeah. So let's assume that water quality in Southland isn't as good as it should be. We won't quantify that. And it's our job to do something about that.
Yes.
There's, broadly speaking, three options. We run a campaign that says you guys have to improve what you do, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or we say, come up with a farm environmental plan that we know we can trust you and you'll work to that. Or we set up out a prescriptive set of rules, like we've got in the proposed water and land plan, that will protect that. Which direction are you suggesting? I'm just trying to interpret what you were saying.
Right.
What direction are you suggesting?
I think that that whatever document you have, it has to be specific to everyone. The example you brought up was the health and safety. So that's everyone, all the farmers have to have the health and safety sort of things done, and then there are businesses that are out producing signs, and then you talk to the farmer down the road and he spent $15,000 on health and safety, and the next person just went to the beef and lamb one that was free, and someone else bought hundreds of dollars worth of signs to plaster all over their farm, you know, and so I suppose our comment in here was that whatever is decided on doing, that everybody follows that line, and also that there's a, because as much as the farmers know their land and they should know all the regulations and bits and pieces, there's also the upskilling, like in regards to that management plan, and so as long as there's the support for what you put in place for farmers, that, and I mean, we've been to, Dave Connor's been around our place and done
a focus plan
and bits and pieces, so I'm totally for having the best water in the world. It's actually how you get everybody on board with the same page, doing the same thing under the same regulations, and how do you monitor that?
That was my question.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I've just turned it all around. But yeah, having a really good plan, it's going to have to be monitored somehow, though.
Right.
As far as that goes, and whether, how much financial impact it's going to have, to make sure. I know that there's monitorings at the moment and bits and pieces and stuff like that, but I suppose there's got to be a little bit of trust. And then there's always the bit of publicity that, you know, these guys did it wrong and don't do it because we'll fine you. I don't know.
All right, thank you.
What did you want to say? Sorry, I
did all the talking. Just one question. I'm just looking at your submission of Rule 50. You made comment, which Rule 50 is community water supplies, and that's more of a rural scheme. But you make mention that you would like to see more storage in towns, urban, you refer to. Is that, I'm just not too sure where to go with this, but I'm just wondering whether you see the community water supply as being to that level, to individual tanks in urban areas, as well as community water schemes that would service a number of farms, and some of these you include water for urban as well.
I just suggested that if all townhouses had water, then the water take would be less, wouldn't it? So they would be more self-sufficient. That's the point I want to raise. It's probably not.
Yeah. So it's really a question of understanding where all our resources are, and can we actually bring it into the day-to-day practices across all sectors?
Yeah.
That's what you're really saying, is that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. No further questions from me, but thank you very much for coming in and presenting your material to us.
And thank you for seeing us early.
No, you're welcome.
And sorry about my technical issues.
That's absolutely fine. Are there any other submitters present who are scheduled for this afternoon?
Yeah.
Are you happy to go now?
Yeah.
And sorry, which submitter?
I'm not yet.